This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. If you know me, you know that I love game shows. And you might also know that since, of course, this is Galesburg, Galesburg is the home of Knox College, which, if you know anything about game shows, you may know that Knox, one of the more, well, to me, more famous graduates of Knox is Gene Rayburn, the host of Match Game for all those years. He, according to the college, donated his suits upon his passing to the theater department at Knox so they could still get use out of them. And speaking of Gene Rayburn and speaking of Match Game, there is a book out entitled Match Game 101, a backstage history of Match Game that I am very pleased tonight to talk with the author of, A. Ashley Hoff. He's a native of Peoria and has been spending some time there recently talking about the book and other things. And he's on the line with us right now. Ashley, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Well, and Gene Rayburn was born in Christopher, Illinois, and
right.
spent much of his youth in Chicago.
Yeah.
So he is indeed an Illinois native.
He absolutely is. Before I ask a little more about the book, since you've been back in Peoria from spending time on the West Coast, if you will, how have things gone for you? Well, what's Peoria like for you these days?
You know, it's the weather has actually been fairly mild compared to what I've been used to on previous visits. I mean, Los Angeles the week before I flew back here was cold and rainy, so I thought, well, I'm not getting much in the way of sun on the way back to Peoria, so this has actually been an improvement.
Well, until tomorrow, and then the weather kind of goes south for a couple of days, so I'll apologize in advance for the weather.
That's all right. That's all right. It's December, so I know what to expect.
There you go. All right. In describing the book Match Game 101, you describe actually the game show itself, Match Game, as the greatest TV game show ever produced. I would probably agree with you on that, but what led you to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, Gene Rayburn himself had said, you know, had admitted the format is format. But what really brought the fans on board is the fact that this was a show with two contestants trying to match a six-celebrity panel. The celebrities, who were these wonderful personalities, Brett Summers, Charles Nelson Reilly, mm-hmm. Richard Dawson, with occasional visits from Fannie Flagg and mm-hmm. Betty White and others, they had great chemistry. And as Orson Dean had told me when I interviewed him for the book, actors and actresses of that era were bred to be raconteurs. They were storytellers. So that when they went on a talk show, they were not just simply plugging their latest project, they were actually conversing and interacting. And the wit and the banter and the bickering all just added up to a really fun time. It was like going to the hottest cocktail party in town.
And for a while in the 70s, the ratings reflected that this was the hottest cocktail party in town.
Oh, yeah. Match Game, 4 years in a row, was the number one daytime show. Gene Rayburn himself had been nominated for a few Emmys over the years as best host, and he was really a great gifted talent. He started his career in radio,
yeah,
and that kind of allowed him to hone his skills. So he was a great improv artist. He could go with the flow no matter what happened, what antics happened, or set pieces would fail to open or close. He just went with it.
In another article I read in from the Peoria Journal-Star, when you talked to them about this book, this kind of became, I got the impression, a sort of a passion project for you, didn't it?
Well, it really was. I had met through a friend of mine, Kay Henley, who worked as celebrity coordinator on the show back in the 70s. I had told her, Kay, you should write a book about your years working on Match Game. I would buy it. And she ultimately didn't want to write a book, but she told me, if you want to write a book, I'll gladly talk to you for it. And so through her, I met a number of the producers, directors, and writers on the show. And I was already working as a talent agent in Chicago and then moved to L.A., worked in a talent agency out there. So I had access to a lot of the people who worked as celebrity panelists on the show. And some of them, like Marsha Wallace and Brett Summers, became actually good friends of mine. So I was very lucky. I got to interview a lot of fabulous people who were exactly what you saw on the television show. Most TV shows are scripted, so they are playing a role.
Right.
But on a game show, you are seeing people as they really are. You are seeing their levels of wit or lack thereof. You are seeing their real personalities and temperament. And I think that's one of the reasons the show is so popular, because human beings are very curious about other human beings. You know, the number of tabloid shows and quote-unquote reality programs mm-hmm. we have certainly reflects that. And I think you just get a sense of who Betty White really is by the way she's interacting with Gene and everybody, or the way, you know, Gary Berghoff, or the way any of the actors and actresses who graced the panel were. And that's why we really respond to it 4 decades after the show ended.
I want to talk to you more about getting in touch with and talking about the celebrities, talking with the celebrities for this book in a second. But I want to back up a second here. You described the premise as being as the host, at least for Gene, reading a racy fill-in-the-blank statement. Now, I note that because, at least in the second incarnation of Match Game, the popular one in the 70s, it didn't necessarily start out that way.
Well, initially, the 60s version of the show, which was actually a different configuration, it was a much more staid, intellectual show. You were still matching the contestants, but at the same time, it was a much more straightforward program. And when the show ended in the late 60s, at that time it had been shot in New York.
Yeah.
So Todman Productions moved their offices from New York to Los Angeles. And in 1973, somebody got the bright idea at the company of bringing the show back with a slightly different format. They brought back Dick DiBartolo, who had written
yes.
all the questions in the 60s, and he was still based in New York, so he wrote a lot of the questions, but they added some West Coast writers as well, and there were, give or take, about 4 to 6 writers at any given point who were kind of contributing to the pot. And Dick came up with the idea of adding a little bit of spice to the fill-in-the-blank questions. And so they went from being very straightforward to being a little more cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
They were bringing what was at that time kind of the nighttime Johnny Carson atmosphere and bringing it into daytime.
Yeah.
And I asked Peter Marshall, who hosted the almost equally racy Hollywood Squares at that time, and who was also a very good friend of Gene Rayburn.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Peter what he thought of the raciness, and he basically said that at that time, with Hollywood Squares and Match Game, you know, for the audience members, if you got the question, you know, if you didn't get it, you didn't get it. If you didn't get the double entendre, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You just went with it straightforwardly. But if you really did get it, you thought, that's terrific. And, of course, censorship at that time being different than, you know, not quite as lenient as it is today, you had to be very witty and clever in order to kind of get the double entendre to come through. You know, today
yeah.
we are very single entendre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that may be why some of the modern attempts at reviving Match Game had not gone over quite as well. There is a current version being hosted on ABC, hosted by Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because it's, you know, I can watch the show and I like that version of Match Game, but it seems to me to be just a bit maybe forced versus sort of the freewheeling nature of the 70s version.
Well, and I think a lot of it is, I mean, they had a pretty tall order to work with. They knew they wanted to harken back to the 70s version,
yeah.
but this isn't the 70s. So they had to kind of work with what they had. They have a much more rotating cast
yeah.
of celebrity panelists, so they don't have quite the same opportunity to have regulars like, you know, Brett and Charles were and Richard Dawson was. But I think they do a decent job of trying to capture the chemistry and try to capture the feel. And it's a fun show.
Yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't like version, you know, hey, you've got reruns of the 70s version that are shown multiple times a day. There's a DVD box set.
I own that, set. Yeah.
And
I'm not ashamed to admit that I own that box set either.
And then, of course, I've got my book, Match Game 101.
Let me ask
one
you.
Of the things,
oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things I was hoping with the book was to really kind of educate any readers. Because initially when I started the book, I thought, you know, it's a game show. How hard could it have been?
Right.
And the more research I did and the more people I talked to, the more I realized, no, this is a lot deeper, and a lot more impressive than I initially gave it credit for.
What made it so much deeper?
Well, and there are there was a lot that went into the crafting of the questions,
mm-hmm.
the wording, and so on. And you also had to, you couldn't be too vague, because then everybody would give 20 different answers. You had to have some matches, but at the same time, it couldn't be the type of question where there's only one answer. And people like Gene Rayburn made it look so effortless, but at the same time, there was a lot that went into the show, the production. I talk about some of the people behind the scenes, behind the cameras, who helped make the bells and whistles go off on the set. And I wanted people to get kind of an appreciation for the show and for the genre overall. But if all they want to know is about Brett and Charles and Betty White, all they have to do is turn a couple of chapters over. There they've got all the stories there. So I wanted to make sure the book had something for everyone. People who were interested in the actual television production and learning how to actually put a television game show together,
yeah.
You'll find that out in the book. And at the same time, there are fun stories on Fannie Flagg and Joan Collins and Dr. Joyce Brothers. And I interviewed pretty much everybody I could track down.
What was it like talking to a lot of those people? And the second part of that, I'll stick to this part, and then I'll ask the second question I'm thinking of in a second. It must have been a great pleasure talking to both the behind the scenes people and the celebrities. And I read that among those celebrities, you have Betty White's phone number.
Yes, Betty and I have used it. I interviewed Betty for the book, who was absolutely wonderful, absolutely gracious. I will say that everybody I talked to was very open to talking about it. Everybody spoke positively of the other people that they were talking about, of Goodson Todman Productions overall, as well as the staff and the crew members. They really enjoyed the show. It was a very happy set. Many TV shows and film sets, you're hearing about all these stories about various feuds between actors and actresses or directors or producers, and that really was not the case on Match Game. Even when people were not necessarily each other's cup of tea personality-wise, they still were very respectful of one another.
You touched on what I think was going to be my next question here, and I know that you go into detail about this in the book, but I had read and heard over the years that especially as his popularity soared when he started hosting Family Feud, that Richard Dawson was not as easy or as pleasant of a person to work with. What's the celebrity's perspective on him?
Well, a lot of it, I mean, by the time Richard started hosting Family Feud, that came, I think, in 76.
Mm-hmm.
So that was about his third year on Match Game. Family Feud started. It became a very immediate hit. He was doing double duty hosting Family Feud, as well as appearing on the celebrity panel of Match Game. And, you know, those were long hours when you added it up all together.
Sure.
He was getting a bit tired because he'd been doing the show after so many years. You can see why he was looking for a little bit of a change. And plus, you know, there is something to be said for being the host of a show as opposed to one of a six celebrity panel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was a little bit of ego there, but at the same time, I think he just kind of tired of the format. Everybody needs something different. And by the time he left Match Game, you know, he wasn't altogether thrilled with it toward the end.
Mm.
It was a little rough. But at the same time, overall, he very much enjoyed his time on Match Game. He cared very much about the contestants. He was great.
Yes.
They would always pick him during the Super Match because he was so great at being able to almost psychically read what they were going to be saying. He had a good feel for people's personalities. That worked well for him on Family Feud when he was hosting that show. And everybody really, really liked and respected him, even if they were not necessarily best friends. You know, people like Brett Summers,
yeah,
who was never, you know, she wouldn't hide anything. But she was the first one to tell me. He was a great game player. He really cared about the contestants winning. They all very much respected one another.
Yeah.
You know, nobody bad-mouthed anybody, and nobody trashed the show.
Absolutely.
And I think that speaks very highly of the atmosphere on the set.
I'm almost out of time, but I want to maybe wrap up by asking you, are there any surprises or things that like big fans of Match Game like myself might be surprised to find out about in the book?
Well, I think read the book. Everything is pretty positive, but it's not particularly sanitized.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the book. Match Game 101 really is, I try to just capture the party atmosphere that really is what the show was, and really actually was. Everybody had a good time. Everybody remembered the show fondly. Everybody remembered their fellow compatriots well. It was, I mean, not a love fest. That sounds corny, but I mean, it was every bit as fun in real life as it appears to be in the reruns.
Absolutely. Match Game 101, A Backstage History of Match Game, is authored by A. Ashley Hoff. Ashley, I imagine this book is available at in bookstores and on Amazon and things like that?
It is. It is available online, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, but I do always suggest people go into actual brick-and-mortar
yes.
stores, whether it's a chain bookstore or a mom-and-pop indie bookstore. If they do not currently have it on the shelves, they can easily order it. It is available through the Ingram Catalog, which is the primary distributor for all the books in the nation. And, you know, I say support local bookstores because we need them now more than ever.
Amen to that. Those of you listening here in Galesburg, I challenge you, go into Wordsmith downtown and ask if they have this book, and if not, have them get it for you. That's all there is to it. A. Ashley Hoff. Ashley, thank you so much for your time. I'm very much looking forward to getting this book and reading more about it to complete my tiny little game show collection at home. I appreciate it.
And I thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll get to sports and business news and more coming up on Galesburg's Evening News, plus Pick a Present and Merengue dancing lessons, all still ahead on WGIL.